This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkal alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla la وَمَيْ يُدِلُوا فَلَا هَذِيَ أَمَّا بَعْدَ. Alhamdulillah, we are now in the one of the most blessed times of the year. A time in which the Prophet ﷺ said are the 10 best days of the year. And this part of the year is often underestimated by us. You know, we give a lot of importance to the last 10 nights of Ramadan and the Eid that follows that. But the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah and the Eid being on the 10th of those days, these days are equally important, right? The 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are in many ways equally important to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Because the last 10 nights of Ramadan are described as the greatest nights of the year. And the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are described as the 10 best days of the year. And these are blessed days because during these days we have the day of Arafah, a day in which du'as are answered and people are forgiven and in which shaitan despairs. The most important day of the year, a day about which the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever fasts on the day of Arafah, their sins are forgiven for the preceding year and the following year. It's an amazing, amazing day, a very important day, not just for those who are on Hajj, but even for us, we can also benefit from the day of Hajj, of the day of Arafah, simply by fasting and spending the day in Ibadat. In fact, it is mustahab, it is recommended to fast for all 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah leading up to Eid. So just like it is wajib to fast for 29 days before Eid al-Fitr, it is sunnah to fast for 9 days leading up to Eid al-Adha, with the last day, the 9th day, being the most important, the one that we should do even if we can't do the others. So sometimes the importance of these days are lost on us, and sometimes the Eid al-Adha, we don't give it the same level of hype and excitement as we do Eid al-Fitr. And that needs to change. We need to remind ourselves about why these days are important, the importance of the Hajj itself, the importance of this month, the importance of the day of Arafah, the importance of the Udhiyah. We need to give ourselves reminders of this so that we can rebuild this excitement for this time of the year. And on the aspect of Hajj itself, you know, again, the pillars of Islam, we look at all 5 pillars of Islam, they all serve a very important purpose. And that is to build us up spiritually. Right? Our spiritual development, the development of our iman and our taqwa and our piety and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is primarily dependent on how we deal with the 5 pillars of Islam. So if someone ignores the 5 pillars of Islam and they seek other ways to improve themselves spiritually, then they are heading down a wrong path, a path of innovation. But if you start with the 5 pillars of Islam, you are starting on a strong spiritual foundation. If you look at all of them, for example, the Shahada, the belief that there is no God besides Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, this is our spiritual foundation. On this comes our belief in the Quran and Sunnah, on this comes our purpose of life, on this comes our commitment to the path of truth. All of it is founded on this belief. Our spiritual path begins with confirming this belief. And then, building upon that, praying 5 times a day. This is what nurtures and protects our faith on a daily basis. So every day, we face temptation. We face chances where we may neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moments where we may forget about Islam. Right? Opportunities that may cause our iman to decrease. But the 5 daily salah, they keep us reminded. They keep us steadfast. They keep us moving in the right direction. Then we have the zakah and the fasting, both of which are once a year. So we have our belief which is constant. We have the salah which is every day. And then we have the fasting for a month of the year and the zakah once a year. And what these do, again, they build on that spirituality. So we know the fasting is la'allakum tattaqoon, so that your taqwa increases. So we have a month of intense worship that increases our piety. And the zakah plays a similar role. Zakah means to purify, from the same root as tazkiyah, right? It is to purify your soul. That when you give your wealth in charity, you are purifying your soul of greed, you are purifying your soul of stinginess and miserliness, you are purifying your soul of looking down upon others, right? This is all part of the improvement of ourselves spiritually. And then we come to the final pillar of Islam. And I believe from the five pillars of Islam, this is the one that we don't give as much importance to it as we should, because it's once in a lifetime that you have to do it, right? And for many people, they delay it too much. They say, I'll do it later in life. And for others, they will do it and they will forget about it, right? But this is a very important pillar of our religion. So the final pillar is once in a lifetime minimum. Not maximum, minimum. In fact, if you read the ahadith, there is strong encouragement to perform as many Hajj and Umrah as you can in your lifetime, however much Allah allows you to go for. There is very strong encouragement in the Sunnah to go for Umrah as much as possible and to go for Hajj as much as possible. So we need to ask ourselves, what is the spiritual benefit of Hajj? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed a pillar of the religion, one of the five pillars of Islam, and something that you have to do once in your lifetime. And something so beneficial that the reward for it, what is the reward for Hajj? Right, there's two rewards mentioned in the hadith that we want to mention. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the reward for an accepted Hajj is Jannah. That's how important the Hajj is. That if you do it properly, it is your path to Jannah. Number two, that you return home purified of your sins like a newborn baby. Meaning even your major sins are forgiven. So what is this act of worship that is so powerful that it can erase all our sins and lead to Jannah? The Hajj is a compilation of everything we mentioned before this, right? If you look at the benefits of Salah, the benefits of fasting, the benefits of Zakah, and the benefits of belief in Islam, Hajj is all four put together. All four on a higher, more powerful, more intense level. The Hajj is so intense in terms of worship and effects that the Prophet ﷺ used to call it the jihad of women. Meaning, women don't need to go for jihad, but this is hard enough, right? This itself is a jihad, and you'll get the reward for that. Because it is a very difficult thing to do, to go for Hajj and to deal with the Hajj, right? What you will find in it is a combination of all these acts of worship. So for example, the Shahada, the belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, right? Your whole Hajj is built around this. The whole Hajj is built around this. With the very fact that you have taken so much of your wealth and spent it in the path of Allah to go to Makkah at that time of the year shows your belief. And then you do every act of worship as per the Sunnah shows your belief in Muhammadur Rasulullah. The Salah is an act of worship, of physically worshipping Allah to increase and maintain our spirituality. The Hajj is this times 10 over, because now it's not just the Salah, but there is the Tawaf, there is the Sa'i, there is the stoning, there is all of this, which is also physical acts of worship. Physical acts of worship that supercharge your spirituality, that take it to the next level. Fasting is an intense period of worship of Allah to increase our taqwa. The Hajj also is a super intense period of worship of Allah to increase our taqwa. So with Ramadan and fasting, you have 29 days to worship Allah, right? It's a marathon to increase your piety. With Hajj, you have 5 days. It's a sprint. It's doing as much ibadah as possible in 5 days. It's pushing yourself to the limits for those 5 days. And then finally, we have the zakah. And the zakah is spending your wealth in the path of Allah. And Hajj is also spending your wealth in the path of Allah. Because we all know how expensive Hajj is. And that money is not wasted. It is spent in the path of Allah. To such an extent that there are hadiths that indicate that when you go for Hajj or Umrah, Allah will give you wealth in return. Allah will give you more wealth in return because you are spending your wealth in the path of Allah, and the reward of spending your wealth in the path of Allah is that Allah gives it back to you 10 times over. And that applies to Hajj and Umrah just as it applies to Sadaqah. So what you see in the Hajj is a combination of all the pillars of Islam in a very intense 5-day period. This is a 5-day period to prove to yourself what a Muslim you can be. and to unlock your potential to worship Allah to the best of your ability. And it is a period of intense spiritual transformation. People come back from Hajj a different person. It's just 5 days, but how many of us know people who went for Hajj and came back completely transformed because of how powerful these 5 days are? So what are the benefits of Hajj? Let's just go through some of the more practical benefits of Hajj that each of us can experience, even if you go for Umrah, but these are felt more in the Hajj, right? Number one is the forgiveness of all one's sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many ways to have our sins forgiven. Allah knows that we are sinful creatures and that a human is not going to live a life without sinning, right? That sin is part of the human experience. And we should be trying our best to avoid it. We should be repenting as much as possible. We should be trying to improve ourselves. But because humans will eventually fall into all kinds of sins, Allah has given us many ways to make up for it. So praying 5 times a day makes up for our sins. Giving charity makes up for our sins. Fasting the month of Ramadan makes up for our sins. And the Prophet ﷺ said, from one umrah to the next makes up for any sins in between. And he said that when you go for Hajj, all of your past sins are forgiven. So these acts of worship, one of their primary benefits is to be a means of purification and forgiveness for our sins. And all of us are in need of this. And so each of us should make the Hajj a priority just for the sake of having our sins forgiven. Even if we've been before, we should try to go again. The next benefit of the Hajj is humility. One of the most dangerous traps of Shaitan is to make us arrogant, to make us prideful, to make us think that I am better than others. Shaitan himself used these words. When he was asked to bow to Adam, he said, "Ana khayrun minhu," I am better than him. And he wants us to feel like that as well. And he will use any trick to make us feel arrogant. Whether it's, I'm wealthier than him, I'm from a better race than him, a better tribe than him, I have a better social class than him, I'm more pious than him, I'm more knowledgeable than him. All of this are various forms of arrogance. And what the Hajj does, it kills that arrogance. It knocks it right out of you. It makes you realize you're not better than anyone else. That when you do a Hajj properly, and you wear the simplest of clothes and stay in the simplest of conditions, and the rich man and the poor man are both on Arafah and they're both in Muzdalifah, and you have to be one of the people, it humbles you. If someone is afraid that arrogance is creeping into their heart, Hajj is one of the cures to arrogance. It's one of those things that can kick it out of you. Number three, Hajj helps to build unity, the unity of the Ummah. To learn to think beyond national identities and to see each other as brothers and sisters in Islam. One of the major problems facing the Ummah today is nationalism. The Muslims born on opposite sides of a border tend to hate each other, right? That, you're born in this country, I'm born in that country, we don't get along. And Hajj can bring people together and make people realize we have more in common than we differ. And so when you go for Hajj or even for Umrah, you are forced to interact with people from all walks of life. You are forced to interact with people from all countries and all races and all backgrounds and all social economic levels, and you learn to realize and see the good in your Muslim brothers and sisters. And this helps to rebuild that unity that the Ummah is often losing in the modern world. And so we see this historically, that the Hajj has been a time for rebuilding unity between Muslims. The next benefit of both Hajj and Umrah is that they are a means of spiritual boost. We all need that boost every once in a while. Our iman is always going up and down. And we all need something to push us to the next level. So Ramadan can give us a spiritual boost. A good lecture could give us a spiritual boost. Time in righteous company could give us a spiritual boost. But Hajj and Umrah, they do it on another level. That these acts of worship, if you go for Hajj, if you go for Umrah, the impact that has on you spiritually is like almost nothing else. And this is one of the most important benefits we get out of the Hajj or Umrah, is that it takes your iman to another level. And that is something that we all seek. Finally, another benefit of the Hajj, which we already mentioned earlier, is that it's a means of increasing your risk, of increasing your sustenance. Because when you spend money on Hajj, and yes, Hajj is expensive, and now it's more expensive than ever before in history, but if you spend money on Hajj, Allah will send it back to you multiple times over, because you are spending in the path of Allah. you are spending in the path of Allah, and whatever is spent in the path of Allah will always come back to you multiple times over. And so if Allah has blessed you with wealth, it is better for your soul that you spend some of that wealth going for Hajj and Umrah than to go for vacations and holidays. This is better for you spiritually, and it's better even for the barakah in your wealth. That we try to visit the holy lands as much as possible to benefit from the Kaaba, to benefit from the Masjid al-Nabawi, to benefit from being in those places where there's so much barakah and so much spirituality. And so even our wealth itself becomes blessed because we're spending it in ways that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to accept from all of those who are gone for Hajj this year, to accept the Hajj from them and to bring them back safely. And we ask Allah to allow all of us here to the opportunity to multiple Hajj and Umrah throughout our lifetime, and to accept that from us as well. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahda, والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Linked to the Hajj for those of us who cannot go for Hajj is the udhiyah, the slaughtering of an animal on the day of Eid, which in our culture we call Qurbani, right? So just to note, the word Qurbani is not the actual Islamic terminology. You won't find it in the books of fiqh. You won't find it in the Quran and Hadith, but it's fine to use it, right? Just if you're reading the classical books and you get confused, this is from our culture we use the word Qurbani. In other cultures they call it Udhiyah. That's the official term that you'll find in the Quran and Sunnah, right? So what is this? This is slaughtering an animal for the sake of Allah, to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, throughout history, this has never been a controversial practice, right? But in this day and age, where everything is controversial and everybody is upset by something, there are people out there who are offended that Muslims are slaughtering sheep on Eid day, right? And again, that's their understanding of the world. Our beliefs are quite simple. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different things for different purposes, and one of the purposes for which He created these animals is to be eaten. Right? This is clear in the Quran. They were created to be eaten. Right? That is their purpose. And so it's against human nature to make that seem like something evil. Right? And only Allah knows what the long-term repercussions will be of trying to change this. So we should not be ashamed of our religion and its rituals. Part of our rituals is the slaughtering of the sheep or a camel or a cow, any domestic animal, on the day of Eid. And the fiqh of this differs from madhab to madhab, right? There's some of the differences. In the Hanafi madhab, it is wajib to slaughter if you can afford it. And in the other madhab, it is mustahab to slaughter, right? And in the Hanafi madhab, each person has to slaughter on behalf of themselves. And in some of the other madhabs, they say you can slaughter one per family, right? So whichever school of thought you follow, that's fine. These are just some of the opinions that exist. But either way, it is something strongly encouraged. It's something we should do if we can afford it, and something for which there's a lot of reward. Now, what is the purpose of an act of worship like slaughtering an animal? What does this signify for us? Number one, it is a small sacrifice of our wealth for the sake of Allah. So we couldn't go for Hajj. We couldn't sacrifice that much money, right, to go for Hajj. We can still sacrifice a sheep. We can still sacrifice a cow. It's not the same, it's not as much, but it's still something that you're spending in the path of Allah. You still have to spend your money to buy that animal, money that could have been spent elsewhere, but you are still spending money fi sabilillah. So in many ways, the act of slaughtering on the day of Eid al-Adha is a way for us to be with the people of Hajj without being there, by at least imitating some of the practices of what they do and spending some of our wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, from the teachings of Islam, is that when you slaughter on the day of Eid, it is recommended to give part of it in charity and to spend part of it on your family and friends. Right? And this way it's not a selfish act, right? It's not like you're just slaughtering an animal and eating all of it. It's going to others, it's benefiting others. And both of these things are beneficial. right? When you are giving some of it to the poor, this is sadaqah. And this is something that is beneficial all around. But the other part which we tend to forget is even giving some of this meat to a family member or a friend. This is also something very beneficial. The Prophet ﷺ said to give gifts to each other because gifts increase the bonds of love. Gifts increase the love between people. So even the day of Eid, when you are giving a parcel of meat to your cousin or your sibling or your parents or your children or your neighbors or your friends, this is a means of rebuilding that muhabbah, that love between each other. And this is something that should not be underlooked. This is something that is very, very important and something that is from the primary benefits of that day. So inshallah, in a few days' time, we will have Eid al-Adha. And I hope that we all have made intention and done what's necessary to slaughter on that day. Remember, our intention should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should expect our reward only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll say this much. Even if you're a vegetarian, still slaughter and give the meat to other people. Right? You still have to slaughter even if you're a vegetarian. If you don't like meat, that's fine, that's your personal thing. But the act of worship still needs to be done. Right? So slaughter it and give it to the poor. Right? They're not fussy. They're not gonna say that, you know, we are vegan today. No. Right? Give it to someone else. But the act of slaughtering, don't try to change the actual act of worship in Islam. You know, people argue over what is bid'ah. Actually trying to change one of the rituals of Islam is bid'ah. So if slaughtering an animal on the day of Eid is one of the rituals of Islam, to reject this or to try and change it or to change it to slaughtering a cucumber or something like that will be bid'ah, right? It will be changing the religion. So even if you're a vegetarian, still slaughter. Right? Give the meat to somebody else. But do not neglect this act of worship. It is a very, very emphasized sunnah, and in some madhabs it's even wajib. So it's definitely something that we should not neglect and something that we should be engaged with. We ask Allah to accept from us. We ask Allah to accept all our acts of worship in His blessed days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the hajj of those who are gone for hajj and to bring them back safely. We ask Allah to give all of us the opportunities to go for hajj and umrah. We ask Allah to allow us to reach the day of Eid and to benefit from the day of Eid. And to accept our worship on the day of Eid. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqim as-salah.